Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Greetings, fellow acolytes. Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I hope you enjoy this journey of all things Westeros. And in this episode, I'll be talking about Ennys and Maegor Targaryen. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read any of the books connected to A Song of Ice and Fire. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows adapted by Max in the future. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, the information in this episode comes from the written works of George R.R. Martin and the contributors of A Wiki in Ice and Fire on Westeros.org. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. As I indicated in the previous episode, I will be talking about Ennys and Maegor. These two brothers were both kings, as I'll explain in a bit. It's hard to talk about either brother without mentioning the other. This is why I realized this had to be an episode where I talk about both of them rather than separate episodes for each brother. Ennys is the older brother, so I'll be talking about him first, though naturally I'll be talking about Maegor simultaneously at various points. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth about various people in this story, so it's not too different from a typical episode of Game of Thrones, where we follow multiple characters and their storylines as they gradually intersect with each other. So bear with me here. As I mentioned in the previous episode, the two brothers were born during the war with Dorne. Ennys was born in AC 7 on Dragonstone, while Maegor was born in AC 12 on Dragonstone. This means that Ennys was about 3 years old when his mother Rhaenys was killed fighting in Dorne. Ennys was a sickly child, and there were actually rumors that he wasn't the son of Aegon, who was a strong, capable warrior. Meanwhile, the boy was not only sickly, but he was on the thin side and deemed too timid to be Aegon's kid. However, Ennys got a hatchling named Quicksilver, and the bond between them seemed to make him thrive. Ennys never developed a particularly close relationship with his younger brother. For one thing, he's 5 years older. Also, Ennys was living with his father. Meanwhile, Maegor mostly lived on Dragonstone with his mother, Visenya. This arrangement seems to reaffirm the idea that Aegon didn't particularly love Visenya, and their marriage was purely political and for tradition. He would be trained as a warrior by members of the Kingsguard, and even occasionally used Blackfyre. Ennis would also join his father on some of his tours of the Seven Kingdoms as well. Maegor, on the other hand, is basically the complete opposite of Ennis. Maegor was always physically imposing and proved to be a fearsome warrior. Also, he was the opposite to his older brother in personality. As I'll get to later, Ennis is pretty passive and indecisive at times. Maegor is hot-tempered and knows his own mind to the point of being stubborn and unyielding. It's pretty interesting to see these opposites in these brothers, considering there have been comparisons between them and another set of Targaryen brothers, Viserys and Daemon. In AC 22, Ennis married Alyssa Velaryon, which was, of course, another political marriage. They had 6 children together: Aegon, Viserys, Jaehaerys, Rhaena, Alysanne, and Vaella, though Vaella died as a baby. If any of you listeners have checked out episode 104 about the Stormlands, you'd hopefully recognize Alyssa Velaryon, but more on that a little later. Another interesting thing to know is that Rhaena is the first child born in the year 23. At that time, Visenya proposed a betrothal between the newborn Rhaena to her uncle Maegor to tie together the potential claims to the throne. Ennis and Alyssa refused to accept this idea. The Faith of the Seven were also against this because incest is creepy and unacceptable. The High Septon at that time just happened to be a Hightower, and he recommended his niece Cerise as the bride instead. Interesting thing to note is that only Rhaena, Jaehaerys, and Alysanne got dragons as children. Rhaena's dragon is Dreamfire, which is also Helaena Targaryen's dragon. And as I mentioned in my reaction to House of the Dragon episode 207, Jaehaerys' dragon is Vermithor and Alysanne's dragon is Silverwing. As Aegon grew older, Ennis and Alyssa would do the tours on his behalf. And then eventually Aegon dies and Ennis is crowned king. After the funeral, Ennis gives Blackfyre to his brother Maegor, acknowledging that Maegor was an actual warrior and more worthy of using Blackfyre. Maegor would also end up claiming Beleriand from his now-dead father. Ennis also told his brother that they would rule together, with him being his sword. After his coronation, Ennis did a tour with his wife and children to visit Old Town, River Run, Lannisport, and Highgarden. The coronation was at the Starry Sept. Ennis's reign was short and filled with a lot of problems. He started off as popular with the common people. However, he was deemed weak by many people, including his own aunt/stepmother, Visenya. At different points, he demonstrated a lack of willpower and was indecisive. There were actually 4 rebellions happening during his first year as king. He struggled with how to solve the crises, but it was actually local lords that solved the problem. In the Riverlands, there was a bandit king who claimed to be a grandson of Harren the Black. Red Harren took over Harrenhal after killing Lord Harris, which meant the first family to be Lord of Harrenhal died out. If you guys listened to episode 109, I mentioned some of the families that had lordship of the Half-Burnt Castle. In the Iron Islands, a man claiming to be a drowned priest started agitating against Ennis. Some of the Dornishmen, led by a man known as the Vulture King, were also agitating for another war of revenge for the First Dornish War. In the Vale, Jonos Arryn usurped his elder brother, the former child king Ronald Arryn, and declared himself King of the Vale. How did these conflicts get resolved? Like I said, Ennis had little to no involvement in ending these rebellions. Lord Allard Royce led a force against the kinslaying Jonos Arryn, who threw his brother out of the Moon Door. Maegor also flew on Beleriand to the Vale to help settle the situation. In the end, Jonos was betrayed by his supporters out of fear of being burned alive by a dragon. Of course, they were all rebels against the rightful Lord Ronald, so they were all executed for treason. Lord Gorin Greyjoy led men against the alleged priest king and reaffirmed fealty to the Iron Throne. The reward he was granted was his desire to get rid of the faith from the Iron Islands, which Ennis was forced to agree to. This was actually something I discussed in episode 108 about the Iron Islands. In fact, his agreement to Greyjoy's request will have some consequences, which I'll get to in a bit. The Marcher Lords eventually captured and killed the Vulture King, which ended the brewing rebellion in Dorne. If you don't know what Marcher Lords are, you'll have to check out season one of this podcast, as I make mention of them in at least three different episodes, including the ones about Dorne, the Stormlands, and the Reach. Ennis's hand, Lord Alan Stokeworth, led a group to hunt down and kill Red Herron and his gang. In fact, Stokeworth dies fighting Red Herron, and Maegor would then become Hand of the King for 2 years. During this time period, the brothers worked very well together. However, problems arose when Maegor indicated that Cerys was barren because they had no child after 2 years of marriage. He decided to marry Alice Harroway as a second wife. Ennis was angry about this, and so was the High Septon and the rest of the Faith. Ennis told Maegor to either leave Alice or go into exile. Maegor chose exile with Alice and abandoned Cerys. Cerys goes back to Old Town. Ennis chose a septon named Mermison as hand to calm down the anger of the Faith. However, this doesn't work because afterwards, Ennis decides to betroth his two oldest children, Rhaena and Aegon, to each other. Again, the Faith was angry about continued Targaryen incest and refused to accept this betrothal. In one of his rare times of decisiveness, Ennis continues with his plan and Mermison marries the siblings. The warrior's sons were taking proverbial names of who attended the wedding. Ennis also declares Aegon is the Prince of Dragonstone and therefore heir to the throne. Visenya left in protest against Maegor's disinheritance since he was the Prince of Dragonstone. In case you weren't aware, the Warrior's Sons were a group of holy knights who basically fight on behalf of the Faith instead of a particular lord. As a consequence of the wedding, Mermison was expelled from the Faith for performing the ceremony and later killed. Aegon and Rhaena were sent on a tour of the kingdoms. Unfortunately, Rhaena was forced to leave Dreamfire behind because their father was worried about Aegon looking weak, riding a horse while his wife got to ride a dragon. The tour was supposed to be a goodwill PR campaign, but they were jeered at by everyone who disagreed with the incestuous marriage. The High Septon denounces Ennis and his house, and a Faith militant uprising begins. The Warrior's Son and Poor Fellows began attacking the king's supporters along with other pious lords. Aegon and Rhaena were trapped at Crake Hall in the Westerlands due to the constant harassment by people against the king. It got so bad Ennis and the rest of his family fled King's Landing for Dragonstone after an assassination attempt at the Red Keep. Eventually Ennis became ill and Visenya tried to care for him. He never fully recovers and dies in AC 42. After the funeral, Visenya flies off to Pentos to bring back Maegor from exile. Maegor is crowned the king after his brother, despite the fact young Prince Aegon was still very much alive. While Visenya was gone to get Maegor, Alyssa fled Dragonstone to Driftmark with her three remaining children, Viserys, Jaehaerys, and Alysanne. Meanwhile in the Westerlands, Aegon and Rhaena were initially trapped at Crake Hall by the Faith militant. They managed to flee to Casterly Rock, where they were offered guest right and safe haven by Lord Lyman Lannister. At this point, Rhaena was pregnant and gave birth to their twin daughters, Arya and Rhaella Targaryen. Despite he was his father's heir, there was skepticism from some because he didn't have a dragon and therefore was possibly a weak ruler, like his father, versus his more dynamic uncle. Now that Maegor is going to become king, let's get into what happens next with him. He arrives on Dragonstone, where he gets crowned with his father's crown. The Grand Maester was protesting this as Aegon was declared the heir after Ennis, but unsurprisingly, Maegor killed him. Maegor flies off to King's Landing to claim his seat on the Iron Throne and gather supporters. By this point, the Faith militant had control of the Sept in King's Landing, and they protested against him. This leads to the leader of the Warrior's Son to call a trial by seven. Now, many of you are familiar by this point of trial by combat, as that has come up in Game of Thrones at least a couple different times. Trial by seven is basically the same thing, except instead of a one-on-one duel, it's a team fight. You got seven fighters on each side, and they fight until one side yields or they are dead. Initially, no one wanted to fight on Maegor's side until a couple of men step up and basically shame others to join in. The trial ends when literally everyone except Maegor dies, though he does get badly injured to the point where he ended up in a coma for a month. While Maegor was in his coma, Alice Harroway arrived with a mysterious woman named Tyana of the Tower. There are lots of rumors and stories about Tyana. There are claims she's a witch and knows sorcery. There were also rumors that she was Alice's paramour. After waking up from his coma, Maegor would proceed to burn down the Sept of Remembrance that the warrior sons were hiding in, while archers killed anyone who managed to escape the burning Sept. He would participate in two other battles, killing more of the Faith Militant. Visenya flew off to Driftmark to convince Alyssa and her children to go to King's Landing. Alyssa was there to attend the official wedding of Maegor to Tyana. The fact she was in King's Landing during this period made people think she abandoned her son and his claim to the throne. Alyssa had been secretly reaching out to other lords to gain support for her son. However, lords weren't prepared to support Aegon unless he won a battle. Tyana informed Maegor what his sister-in-law had been doing. Not too long afterwards, Tyana became the mistress of whispers for her husband. Interestingly, Visenya mistrusted her newest daughter-in-law and her growing influence. In the year AC 43, a lot of things happened. Visenya helped quell rebellion against her son being king. She and Maegor head to Old Town, where the Faith is headquartered. Maegor stays in Old Town for months, dealing with the remnants of rebellion from the Faith while there. Cerise had been staying at Old Town this whole time, still defending her position as Maegor's actual wife. After some negotiation, she agrees to accept his other wives as long as her position as his first wife and queen is maintained. She goes back to King's Landing, though she later dies in AC 45. The official records said she died of illness, though there's plenty of speculations and rumors saying differently. While Maegor was off in Old Town, Aegon and Rhaena got some support to sneak into King's Landing. You'd think they were trying to steal the throne back while Maegor was gone, but in reality, they were there to get dragons. Rhaena got Dreamfire back, and Aegon actually ended up claiming his father's dragon, Quicksilver. Aegon had been traveling through the Riverlands trying to gain support and was able to get an army. Despite having a larger force, he was too inexperienced and didn't want to fight the smaller forces that were heading to oppose him. Eventually, there is a fateful battle between uncle and nephew at the God's Eye. It shouldn't be too surprising that Beleriand easily defeated the smaller and younger Quicksilver and inexperienced Aegon. Yes, there can't possibly be another similar battle happening again in, say, a century later? Certainly not. But alas, there ends the short campaign for a Prince Aegon. The parallels, you guys. Visenya convinces Maegor to pardon many of the rebellious lords as a way to end the fighting. To try to prevent further rebellions and claimants to the throne, Alyssa and her children became wards on Dragonstone. Convenient hostages for good behavior. Alyssa's middle son Viserys was made his uncle's squire and was essentially a hostage of the Red Keep. At this point in time, Maegor had also made Alyssa's father Hand of the King. Rhaena, meanwhile, had fled with her twin daughters. To protect her children, she had them fostered with other families and their locations were unknown to her, so she couldn't be forced to give them up. She wound up on Fair Isle under the protection of House Farman. Unlike her daughters, it was hard for Rhaena to truly hide herself considering she has a dragon. In the year AC 44, Visenya would die. During the confusion, Alysanne fled again with her two youngest children along with Dark Sister. After his mother fled with Jaehaerys and Alysanne, Viserys was tortured to death for days by Tyana. Maegor hoped that Alyssa would return to claim his body, but she never did, and they cremated the boy per Targaryen tradition. After a lot of struggle with getting heirs, Alyssa winds up pregnant. However, not too long into the pregnancy, she prematurely gives birth to a deformed fetus and nearly dies. Tyana convinces Maegor that Alyssa had been cheating on him and the baby was possibly not his. Initially, Maegor doesn't believe this, but Tyana provides evidence, quote-unquote evidence, and Maegor literally kills not only Alyssa, but her entire house and anyone associated with her family in the Riverlands as punishment for her transgressions. Maegor would continue a campaign of fighting rebellions by by members of the Faith Militant for the next couple of years. He also had construction crews who completed the Red Keep executed after completion in AC 45. The many secret tunnels in the Red Keep we've seen in Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon were in fact created by Maegor's instructions. Killing the construction teams would keep the tunnels a secret. The next project was the Dragon Pit, where the Sept of Remembrance once stood. However, skilled builders were understandably frightened of being killed, so they fled and convict labor was used instead. By AC 47, Maegor still had no child of his own as his heir, and his only wife is Tyana. Tyana still hadn't gotten pregnant. In his need for an heir, he had a triple wedding with three women who had children already and therefore were clearly fertile. These three women would be known as the Black Brides, since they were all widows because of Maegor, and one of them was his own niece, Rhaena, in order to weaken the claims of her younger siblings. The other two brides were Jane Westerling and Eleanor Costain. Rhaena agreed only because she likely didn't want the Farmans to be punished for her rebellion. Maegor decrees that until he has a child of his own, Arya would be his heir, and her younger sister Rhaella was sent to Old Town to become a Septa. The following year, in AC 48, Jane and Eleanor did get pregnant. Like Alice, Jane went into labor early and her baby was deformed. Jane died not long afterwards. By this point, Tyana was arrested and she admitted that she poisoned Alice's and Jane's unborn children. She also claims that Eleanor's baby would be deformed too. Maegor kills Tyana and her prediction is true. As you can imagine, literally everyone in Westeros was tired of Maegor's cruelty, including some of the members of his small council. By this point, Jay Harris decides to declare his challenge for the throne. At this point, Rhaena takes the opportunity to flee King's Landing with Dreamfire and Arya to Storm's End, where her brother currently was. By this point, Alyssa and her two remaining children had gone into hiding this whole time. They found support with Lord Rhaegar Baratheon, who declares his support for Jaehaerys. Maegor orders Rhaella to be killed for Jaehaerys and Rhaena's behavior. However, House Hightower refused to obey this order. Maegor really has no supporters left at this point. And then suddenly, Maegor dies. Eleanor is the only queen left at the Red Keep, and she discovers him sitting on the Iron Throne dead. He was covered in blood with his wrists slashed and one of the chair's blades impaling him through his throat. To this day, there are speculations, but no answers as to whether he committed suicide or it was murder. Despite the Tyrant King being dead, there's still a lot of messy situations left in Westeros that has to be resolved. And the person who has to fix this situation is Jaehaerys I, aka the Conciliator. In many respects, I feel like King Henry VIII was an influence on Maegor's character, given the six wives he had and his inability to have a child of his own as an heir. Granted, Henry did have three legitimate children, but it's the urgent need for heirs coloring his decisions that clearly is referenced here. Also, his increased cruelty after a coma was in fact something that happened to Henry. Another influence is probably the Emperor Caligula, who also became cruel after a bout of illness. Perhaps Russia's Ivan the Terrible as well. And that just about covers the lives of Ennis the First and Maegor the Cruel. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though be aware if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels, House of the Dragon, and Max's future adaptations. Decades later, Otto Hightower expresses concerns about Daemon Targaryen possibly becoming king after his brother Viserys and becoming a second Maegor. Well, now that you know who the heck Maegor is, what do you guys think? Is Otto right and Daemon could have turned out like his distant uncle if he was king? Let me know. Thank you for listening and tune in to the next episode where I'll talk about one of the most influential kings in Westeros and his equally important wife.
We'll be right back.
What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.